Blog Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Beauty Talk with Illusion. For today, Thursday, April 1st, host Chanel, co-owner of Illusions Cosmetics, and I'm joined tonight by my sister, Denise.
Hello.
We're very excited about tonight's show. We have the pleasure of having tonight as one of our guests, a woman in makeup artist that we've both looked up to for years. She's an inspiration to us. She's a friend. She's a fellow makeup artist, and she's a mentor as well as a mother. Tonight's guest is Marietta Carter Narcisse. Listeners, please be sure to call in and join the discussion at 914-803-4399. Again, that's 914-803-4399, or you can email us your questions and comments at info@illusionsbeauty.com. We're also live in the chat room, so please join us there as well. So to start off the show, Marietta, we first like to welcome you, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It's great talking to you guys.
Also, we'd just like for you to start off just by introducing our listeners to who you are and what you've done and what you've been doing.
Oh, my goodness. I've done quite a bit. I've been doing, I've done film for over 20 years. I've done movies like The Negotiator, Spare, Long Kiss Goodnight, you know, Time to Kill, you know, What's Love Got to Do with That. Most of my career has been in feature film. And some television. I've done quite a bit of television in between my downtime and film, and commercials, videos, print. I've done the gamut, even retail, bridal. And I teach a lot of makeup because now, you know, trying to raise a family, I had to find ways to kind of juggle things around. So I teach a lot of makeup so that I can be part of my child's life. That's pretty much it.
Okay, well, you know, when we first met you, Marietta, we met you in Los Angeles at the trade show.
Mm-hmm.
And you were teaching then, actually. And actually, that was pretty much, for me, like a big highlight for me when I first attended the show because, you know, there were instructors, you know, a lot of Caucasian instructors, a lot of film makeup artists, which is pretty much what that show was all about, which was fine with me. But then to see a woman of color there, I think every seminar or class that I went to that year, that very first year, yours was the biggest. And
yeah,
I don't know if it was that, you know, people were really interested in what, you know, makeup for women of color, or if it, I don't know what it was, actually, for people, but I know for me it was good to have a woman of color teaching that particular topic. But, you know, as the years have gone on, you were teaching, your classroom got bigger, your subjects changed. It wasn't always about women of color, but I think when people come to your classes and they hear you speak, the next time they see you, they definitely want to come, no matter what you're talking about.
LA, I did a lot of classes in LA, and the trade shows were very... They were very informative for me, too, because I learned a lot from people coming into the trade shows, and it gave me a chance to teach a lot of what I learned over the years, because, you know, unfortunately, sometimes people just don't share, and I thought if people are going to make it in this industry, we have to learn how to share. So I felt that the things that I learned over the years, the things that I discovered, if I can pass them on to people who are starting out in the industry, will make their lives a whole lot simpler.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
So it was great seeing you guys in my class because a lot of my class, most of the time, a lot of my classes don't really have a lot of people of color.
Wow.
You know, I don't know where we are, but a lot of taking the classes feel threatened because they're like, oh my God, why are they taking the class? Because, you know, they're a person of color, so they must know how to do people of color. And it's so funny because being black does not qualify you to do people of color. It just doesn't.
That's right.
I mean, it's like, you know, if you don't understand the technique and you don't see color and you don't understand what to do and you're not a good artist, you're not going to get it either. So I try to explain to them it's not a qualification. It's you know, it's understanding what to do and how to do it to make the makeup look good. And understanding skin tones and undertones and also understanding the palettes that you're working with. You know,
right.
So it you know, light bulbs go off when I say things like that. And people are like, well, she's black. She must know what she's doing now. Hello? I don't think so. It's just not a qualification.
Well, you know, back then, Marietta, you had a series of tapes where you were teaching. One was for women of color, speaking mainly about undertones. Do you plan on continuing with that?
Yes, I do, actually. Yes, I do. But, you know, I get so busy sometimes that, you know, it's I'm always working on projects. I'm always doing projects. I am that mom, that multitask, you know, and I eventually will get. I'm working on another project, too. I'm working on my book. So it's I'm doing a lot of different things at one time, and they'll all come to fruition soon.
Okay. Okay. What has been one of your biggest challenges as a makeup artist?
The biggest challenge, I think, is since I've moved to Florida. I relocated.
Okay.
I relocated almost 5 years ago.
Okay.
June 21st, actually. Almost 5 years now. And coming here, being considered overqualified just kind of blew my mind completely. It gave me the biggest setback of my career, I think.
Wow.
And, you know, yeah, you have to learn how to eat humble pie all over again.
So how did you deal with that? I guess that pretty much brings us into tonight's topic of starting over. How did you start over?
Oh, my goodness. It has taken me 5 years, almost, you know, the time that I've been here, to start to get my name out. Let's see, where do I start? Networking. Moving here, I didn't really know anyone other than my brother. And I met with the Miami Commission, film commissioner, and the Broward. I live in Broward County. And South Florida is broken down into Broward County and Miami-Dade County. So I met with the Miami-Dade commissioner and the Broward commissioner for film. And when they took a look at my resumes, they both said, I don't think you'll be getting hired, honey.
Wow.
It was like, whoa, big slap in the face, big slap in the face. And I made tons of phone calls, and, you know, people had this attitude that I just couldn't get with it. I didn't understand, and I called the union person here, and he basically said, you'll be taking jobs from the people here. Nobody wants you in the union here. And I cried. I couldn't believe it. I was in shock. Well, he is no longer head of the union here. So that tells you anything with that kind of attitude.
Right.
And New York union was going through so many different things. So, you know, cut to, I just said, oh, well, I'll just try to find a different route for me. So I continued teaching. I would fly back to L.A. To teach at Empire Makeup Academy. And I've done that for the last 4.5 years, basically. Sometimes 2-3 times a year. I would fly in on a Friday. Actually, a Thursday night, get there on a Friday morning and teach class when I get off the plane and fly back on a Sunday evening to be back here on a Monday morning. And I did that turnaround trip quite a few times. Quite taxing because I teach nonstop and literally get to the hotel and just sleep for a couple of hours, get up and start the day all over again. You know, it's very intense, but, you know, that's what you do, and, you know, and I love teaching, so I found the energy somewhere to keep going, you know.
Did it ever make you want to move back?
No, absolutely not. No, 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 no. I prayed a lot. I did my affirmations. I keep doing my affirmations, and I had to rethink. I had to rethink. I had to change a lot of my attitudes around. You know, I ate a humble pie because I was at the top of my game in L.A. and to move to Florida where nobody knew who the hell I was. So it didn't matter what kind of resume I had. Nobody knew me. And so I started all over in the sense of I decided, you know what, I can freelance. I can freelance. So what I did was I knew the head makeup artist for Lancome at the time out of New York. So I called him. He didn't return my phone call. So I got very creative. Let me tell you how creative I got. I went online and I searched. He was head of artist, the entire artist program for Lancome. So I searched and I saw his schedule and I saw where he was appearing. And I literally booked myself into an appointment. I figure there's got to be a way to do this. So I booked myself into an appointment like a client. And I got in my car and I drove all the way south of where I live. I live in Broward, so I live in Davie, a little small town, like 10 minutes from Fort Lauderdale Airport. And I drove down to Coral Gables, which is about 45 minutes, almost an hour from me, basically. I'm in traffic, like about 2 hours, you know. But I drove down there, and I was an appointment. And he almost fell on his face. And I can't say what I said on the radio, but basically he introduced me to the account manager. And, you know, make a long story short, I went through a lot of cock and bull, and finally my resume landed on somebody's desk somewhere, and they called, and they booked me, and they booked me, and they booked me, and they booked me, and they booked me. And then a position came up at Saks in Fort Lauderdale. And I was traveling, you know, freelancing, you're traveling all over the place anyway, and it's like, and there are no benefits. And she said, you know, you might be interested in this because you've got benefits, and you know, you'll be in one place as opposed to driving all over the place. And I thought, well, this is great. So I actually took the position doing as the makeup director of makeup artist for Lancome at Saks for 2 years. But, you know, myself and clocking in and clocking out was not, I mean, just was not my cup of tea. And I did. I gave myself 2 years to the date. I just did. I was like, okay, I could do this for 2 years. I know I can. I know I can. And I had to talk myself into it because it just was not me, but I did it. And I met clients, and I said, I'm doing this for a reason. I'm doing this for a purpose. But it just was not me. It was, you're talking about somebody eating humble pie in Cowtown. Whew. It was a hard, hard, hard one for me. But I did it. I lasted 2 years to the date, and then I handed in my resignation. I just couldn't go any further. While I was doing that at the time, Jamie Foxx's makeup called, and she talked to my husband, and she said, you know what, I can't do this anymore. I need somebody to handle me. I can't do this. I can't do this paperwork stuff. This just isn't me. And I'd been an agent, as you guys know. I'd been an agent in L.A. for a while, and you know, so I thought, you know what, this might be opening the doors again, you know, even though I vowed I wouldn't do it again, and I thought, well, if I'm doing just a couple of people, it's okay, and that's what I started doing again, and Jamie got so busy that it was so hard to juggle Saks and do that, because it was just, but I figured out a way, and then I invested in one of those PDA phones so that I could, instead of trying to return phone calls with Saks's telephone, I could at least check my emails during the course of the day and return phone calls, go to the bathroom and return phone calls, things like that. So I got very creative, and I figured it out, you know?
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, Marietta, we have like two other callers on the line now. I'm not going to force anybody to say anything, but if any of you want to ask Marietta a question or make a comment, please feel free.
I have a Marietta question to ask.
Yeah? Hello?
We're still here. So, and I'm encouraging all the makeup artists that's listening to call in and give you comment or ask a question, because, you know, this particular type of situation can very well happen to any of us. We could also find ourselves starting over for one reason or another, and sometimes we may not get those opportunities where we can come up with a creative idea.
Are the callers on the line?
Hmm?
Are the callers on the line?
There are other callers not showing that they want to speak, though, but there are callers.
I thought I heard someone on the line.
Is there a caller on the line that want to speak? Okay, I guess not.
No. Yeah, it's hard. Starting over is hard. It's very, very difficult. But, you know, when you're in a new place, new city, new town, and you just get creative. I printed up brochures. I printed up, you know, I started to market myself. Huh? And, you know, and I emailed news people.
Mm-hmm.
I got very creative with that. And I, as a matter of fact, one news person that I emailed, I got an immediate response from her. And we communicate via email all the time. And then, you know, the local media here, some of them are quite approachable. So one evening I was shopping at Costco, and my husband said, "Oh my God, that's the Channel 10 anchor." And I'm like, "Well, I want to meet her." So he took me over to her, and you know, and we introduced ourselves, and she's been my friend now for the last year and a half. And it's been great. And now with HD, she's introduced me to several people at the station.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm starting to work with them. I'm doing consults with them to get the makeup looking right for them, because they don't have makeup artists in these local markets, you know. They have to do it themselves. And, you know, with HD, they ask, you know, asking a news person, a news anchor, to do their own makeup is like asking me to anchor the news.
That's absolutely right.
I mean, it makes no sense.
Insane.
And then they brought in consultants to the station that's telling them, okay, so you can airbrush. Hello? That's why we're called artists.
Exactly, because the consultants, they really don't know. I mean, they'll tell them, you know, how they think their makeup should look, but they don't know. They're not the ones doing the makeup. They're not the ones, you know, looking to see what the makeup looks like on camera. And Marietta, you and I talked about this once before. You know, with high definition, it's not about having a high definition foundation. You know, that is not necessarily going to be what it takes to give you the best look. It's all about the application of the makeup. It doesn't really matter if it's liquid, if it's cream, or if it says high def or not.
It means nothing, because it amazes me that people can just think that you can pick up an airbrush and start airbrushing and get a look.
Right.
I don't get that. I just don't get it. It blows my mind completely. You know, I'm like, it's like I can go pick up and start to anchor the news, like, overnight. You know, I mean, we've trained for years.
Exactly.
To do this. So it just blows my mind.
Exactly.
Yeah, so now I'm starting to get. Matter of fact, I talked to two people today. I was just like, okay, when can we meet? When could we meet, you know? So I'm really excited about it, because finally I'm able to start to work with some of the local celebrities here. And I also started teaching. There's only one school basically in Fort Lauderdale, Cosmic's Makeup School. So I went in there when I first got here. And it's been a long, long romance, and it finally came to fruition where I'm actually teaching makeup for film, and it's been great. So I'm doing, you know, it's not every day, but I'm doing classes, and I'm also doing some writing for the school, so which is really good. And I continue to write. I just rewrote the chapter in Curson's book, makeup book, a chapter for women, for persons of color. So,
do you ever do classes? Like, for instance, if I wanted you to come to Maryland to do a class, do you ever consider those type of situations where you come
definitely.
In?
Most definitely. I'll do classes anywhere you want me to do classes.
What's your minimum number of attendees?
Well, you know, anywhere from 6 to the most I can do by myself is 20 people. If it's in a hands-on situation, if it's a seminar, it's endless. But if it's hands-on, the most that I can handle by myself without an assistant is 20 people. After that, I need an assistant, and I, you know.
Okay.
But almost definitely, most definitely. You know, teaching is my love. I love, you know. There's so many artists that I know that are amazing artists, but they're not really good teachers. And teaching is an art. It's knowing not only knowing your craft, but the ability to be able to get it over to people. It's not that easy. It's very difficult. I just taught a 2-3-day period makeup class. And that's an intense class to teach.
Mm-hmm.
And I went from 1847 to 1980.
Wow.
And I worked them really hard. I don't think they were very happy about their final exam because it was not easy questions. It was hard questions. And I have my whole thing on PowerPoint, my entire class on PowerPoint. Which took a lot because it's not only text, it's photos from the errors, you know.
Right.
And one of the things that I pointed out to my students is that when you're researching, because I made them research projects and I gave them film scenarios to work with, so it was very, very difficult. It was not easy because what's the point if I'm going to make it easy? You're not learning anything anyway. And I gave them some real scenarios and trying to see how they would do research. Now, granted, we have the access of the internet, unlike when I was doing research for something like Malcolm X, I didn't have any internet to search on, you know.
Right, exactly.
But I, you know, and some of them, you know, they tried to do the easy way out, shortcuts, and then they realized that going on the internet could be disastrous too, because you have to be careful pulling up authentic period pictures or somebody's version or interpretation of the period.
Exactly.
And quite a few of them brought me interpretations of somebody else's work of the period. I'm like, that's not what I'm looking for. That's not what I'm looking for, because if you look at the photo properly, you'll see it's 2 or 3 periods combined. It's not authentic.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very, very interesting to see how, you know, the kids go about research, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, they learn how to research. They learn how to do a lot of different things. They had to put stuff together. They just couldn't come to class. They had to work, you know. So very good.
Tell us a bit about, since you said you didn't have an internet to use for research when you did Malcolm X, tell us a little bit about how you developed the look for that show without the internet. What were some of your resources?
Friends, photo albums from friends, family, yearbooks from the era. Because we had a lot of, I had the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and a little bit of the 70s. A lot of things in the Muslims we searched for, the library.
Mm-hmm.
Old magazines, everything that I can get my hands on in the bookstores on Malcolm X, because I showed photos. And then I think from the production office, my second on the movie pulled in a lot of stuff too. Once she read the book, she went and pulled in a lot of stuff. I listened to tapes. I had a lot of tapes from family members who recorded stuff. You know, I just listened. A lot of stuff from the library. At the time in Los Angeles, Michael Oakes Archives in Venice.
Mm-hmm.
That I acquired a lot of information from Michael Oakes before they started charging, because when I went into Michael Oakes' archives, I was the only makeup artist that had ever been in there. And he had acquired photos from all over the country, all over the world. And he cataloged them, and I went in there, and it's like, it just was just a plethora of just nothing but information for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a lot of pictures from the era. Same thing with the Jacksons and American Dream. I got a lot of photos because they'd bought over the whole Motown catalog of photos from some of the photographers. So I was able to get a lot, copies of lots and lots of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. And you know, now with the internet, you can do so much.
Oh yeah, now it's really not much of anything that you can't research.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all there.
What was your experience like working on Malcolm X? Like, did you enjoy it? Like, how long was it?
Well, I came off that movie weighing like 115 pounds. I never slept. I enjoyed it tremendously, but it was a lot of work. Probably the biggest challenge of my entire career, I got to tell you that. I just never slept.
How many makeup did you hire?
I was in charge of makeup in here. I had about, a lot of times, every available makeup artist in New York City was working. I had about 50 makeup in here under me at some point. Because we you know, some days with 4,000 extras on a period movie set, everybody could be seen.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, some days period make, you know, it's all about the hair and stuff. So every Broadway hairdresser worked on Malcolm X, and you know, the one thing that I was able to do is I asked Spike Lee to give them credit, and I got to tell you, I was very happy about that. Everybody who worked in that movie received credit.
Oh, that's...
Every single person received credit, because I thought that was the least that, you know, could happen for them putting in that much time.
Right.
And energy, and you know, they did beautiful work. They did beautiful, beautiful work. So I was very, very happy about that.
It was a beautiful movie.
Yes, definitely was.
And that was the other thing. When in teaching the period classes, showing them period movies, you know, and having them take a look and see, you know, the good and the bad.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very, very interesting when students are looking at things that they've never really looked at before and paid attention that kind of way. Then they're able to see and learn certain things, because, you know, looking at the light and looking at all the different things, it was very, very interesting.
Now we have about 15 minutes left, so if there are any makeup artists that are listening to the show, I encourage you to call in, give your comments, ask Marietta a question, you know, either one, and you can call in at 914-803-4399.
Marietta, talk about your book a little bit that you're working on.
What I'm working on is basically my it's called, it ain't medicine, but it's a damn good living. Diary of a makeup artist. It's my journey as a makeup artist, and it's in diary form. And I figure, as opposed to a how to, like, this is how you do this and this is how you do that, I'm putting it through my own experiences. Because it gives you a sense of how I traveled, and I traveled all the time. I was never at home, and I lived in Los Angeles. I moved to Los Angeles in 1983. I moved out of Los Angeles in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
And the times I worked in Los Angeles, I was always gone. Most of the movies I did seemed to have been on location for whatever reason. And if I wasn't on location doing a movie, once I started as the spokesperson for the now defunct Interface Cosmetics, 2.5 years I traveled. So when I was off of a movie, I was traveling for Interface. So I traveled quite a bit. And once I started living day-to-day life in Los Angeles, I realized I didn't like L.A. I didn't know I didn't like it because I was almost out of it.
Right.
You know, so the book kind of gave me a little bit of insights of how I got into the business, you know, how I got started, the path that I took and why I took that path.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I, you know, I could have easily gone in television, but I chose film because I like routine. I like, I can deal with routine. I can deal with monotony. I can deal with detail. And, you know, as a film makeup artist, you basically have to suffer from detailitis. So it doesn't bother me. TV bothers me sometimes, but film doesn't bother me.
Right.
So it details why I chose what I chose and how it went with my personality. And when I teach kids how to basically choose the path that goes best with your personality. It's not you're going to be bored.
Right.
You know. And
you feel that TV didn't go with your personality?
No. I get, you know, I get restless. It just doesn't. Film just went really well with my personality. I can deal with the details. I don't mind the detail. I like the detail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's kind of how I am, you know. So it was easy for me in that sense, you know. And adjusting things once I had my son made it, I guess by then it was hard to go into TV because I had such a big film. Make a film resume, you know.
Right.
Nobody wants to look at a film resume for TV.
Right.
So it's okay. It's all good.
Yeah.
It's all good. No regrets. You know, I mean, I've learned over the years that we can have it all, we just can't have it all at the same time.
Absolutely.
You know, my kid is now 14.
Wow.
And time went by really fast.
Yeah.
And, you know, and now I can do more makeup. And it's not, I don't have to be at home to babysit him or worry about him the same way I did, you know, because now he's so much more independent and can do a whole lot of things on his own.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to bring up the past a little bit. Talk a little bit about the Chattel House and Calypso Cosmetics.
Oh,
I miss
that. I mean, I miss doing that. That, you know, my baby, my soaps, my candles, all my bath products, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I moved here to, you know, it takes 5 years. And I realized when I left Los Angeles, maybe my timing wasn't that good because that's when everybody had really discovered me.
Mm-hmm.
And moving here, it's still, every little town has got a whole different law and things to abide by. And, you know, I still haven't quite figured out how to make things work here yet.
Mm-hmm.
So my Chattel House products might not have completely gone away yet. They might pop back up one day. They might pop back up one day. I did a little bit of stuff when I first moved here, but it's a whole different ball game. It's like to try to mail out body butters from here. You can't because it's hot.
Right.
And things melt before you can get them in the mail.
Exactly.
You know, that part is challenging, you know. But it might still come back up. It might still come back up. I miss doing it. I miss my soaps and everything. And it's hard because, you know, you got to have some space to do. I had the studio in Los Angeles, so I could walk away from it. But when you're working with lye, it's hard to walk away from it if it's in your kitchen.
Right.
You know, you have to complete the project from beginning to end, and I just don't have that kind of time to begin, you know. I don't like to start stuff unless I can complete it, and it's hard to do that. It's very difficult. In the studio in Los Angeles, I was just able to close the door and go home.
Right.
You know.
So you talked about your book and also getting back to continuing the series of lessons that you had on tape. You talked about teaching at the school, and you just mentioned something that I was going to ask you about your studio. Do you think you'll ever start another studio, your own studio, to teach out of?
I would love to. I would love to. There's things in the works that, you know, that one day hopefully they'll come to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like you throw everything on the wall, but you don't quite know what's going to stick. So right now I'm focusing on the teaching and doing the representing the artists that I represent, because sometimes I get pretty busy.
Right.
You know, so we'll see. It's like, you know, but I'm always busy. I'm always busy, and sometimes I wonder. I'm always just busy. I am. It's like. Wow, how do I get so busy? What am I doing? So we'll see, because the two artists that I rep, they keep me pretty busy.
Cool. Looks like we have a caller from the Maryland area. Hello, caller. Do you want to say something or ask a question? And I guess they're not tuned in to talk. Okay. Maybe they're just listening.
Okay. Oh.
Okay. So do you plan on expanding that part of your business, representing artists? As it sounds like you're just doing the negotiation and the paperwork.
Yeah, I do. What I do is I do more management than anything else.
Okay.
With them. I do a lot of management. I do all the negotiations, all the paperwork, yeah.
Do you think that's, well, I'm sure it's an important thing, but do you think that is something that's really necessary for makeup artists, or do you think a makeup artist has to be at a certain level before they go out to seek someone as a manager?
That's a good question. I'm just going to use these two as an example. Artists don't, a lot of times, you guys are fortunate that both sides of your brain work, okay? But, you know, the typical artist, both sides of the brain just doesn't work the same way. You know that. When it comes to the paperwork, it's difficult.
Right.
So I think artists who are at a certain level, who are really busy and going in and out of the country constantly, sometimes getting the check, they might not be able to cash that check or deposit that check.
Mm-hmm.
So having somebody to help them with that might be an asset for them. You understand?
Right.
Because the two artists that I rep, I mean, sometimes they travel so much that it was impossible for them to even follow up.
Right.
On outstanding checks. The amount of traveling that they would do, they just could not do it. It's just too difficult. It's just too difficult. So that's where I came in, you know. Some people could benefit from it, but, again, the ultimate responsibility is still yours.
Right.
And I tell every artist that, you know, no matter who's handling you, the ultimate responsibility is still yours.
And you're unlike an agent who finds a job for the artist.
Exactly. I don't look for work. I don't look. Every now and then, work comes to me and I have to find an artist for it. Do you know what I'm saying? But I don't actively seek work for artists. No, I'm not that kind of agent. I'm not that kind of person. And neither do I want to be that kind of person.
Right.
No, because it's a big babysitting job.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I'm not interested in it, and you know, and artists and patient, and they want their money, and they want their, you know, and they want you to find work, and you know, and then unfortunately, what happens? A lot of artists who really have nothing going on want you to find work for them.
Right.
And I can't. I did that, and I did it for a solid year and a half. Mm-mm, I couldn't do it anymore. I don't want to take on, you know, that aspect of things anymore. Mm-mm, mm-mm.
Right. Well, we're coming down to our last 5 minutes of the the show, but I would like to thank our listeners for tuning in, and for those who called in and just listened, thank you for calling in. We had quite a few callers tonight, just calling in and listening. I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you to you, Marietta, for joining us, and at any time you're welcomed to come back and join us again. I mean, I know as a makeup artist you have a lot of stories to tell, and as a and as a teacher, we may have you come in and sit in on one of our shows, because we probably should have had you when we did the show on choosing the correct shade of foundation and that kind of thing, because just the whole conversation of undertones is very important. So we can have you back on some of our shows like that. Our next show is scheduled for April 30th at 9 p.m. So please continue to support us and call in at 914-803-4399, or you can email your questions and comments to info@illusionsbeauty.com. Now, as we kind of fade out, Marietta, we like to ask all of our guests what beauty is to them. So I'd like to pose that question to you right now. What is beauty to you?
Beauty is bringing out the inner to the outer. I mean, it's that simple as far as I'm concerned. It's just, you know, it's a reflection of who you are. So take it from there. It just is. I think it's really simple. It's a reflection of who you are. And it can make you feel really good some days and not so good other days.
That's true.
Yeah, but you know, on my card, on my business card, it says a little powder and paint will make you what you ain't.
I remember that.
You know, so you know, go figure. It could dress you up quite well.
Right. Let me ask you this question really quickly. What was your worst foundation experience? Whether you had it yourself, where someone put makeup on you, if that was ever the case, or if you had ever had a hard time matching someone's foundation, which I can't imagine you have, but
my worst foundation experience, real fast, I got to tell you, the glue, I was using duo adhesive and in a small hot room, and it oozed out. I didn't cover it off, and it oozed out all over the foundation sponge. The sponge?
No, stop.
When I started to reapply the foundation, I put it all over the face, and I spilled Deborah Messon's entire face with duo adhesive. And they took her away, and they brought her back 2 hours later, and I thought, my God, okay, this woman got the worst skin.
And they're going to say, hey.
It was just the most, and I thought, she's going to think I'm a blundering idiot, because I covered her entire face with duo adhesive and foundation combined. Do you really want to know my worst experience? That was by far my worst experience. I had to peel her entire face off.
Oh, wow.
Start all over in 10 minutes, okay?
But what did you say? I mean, how did you explain it?
She was so busy running lines, she didn't know how bad it was. Because she wasn't looking in the mirror.
Right.
But I got to tell you, it was bad. Her entire face was covered, and I peeled it off in chunks. And I thought, boy, her skin shedded. I've never seen skin like this. Hello, duh. It was bad. It was really bad.
Oh, that's hilarious.
You know, it was real. Thank you guys for having me on the show. This is great. This is wonderful. I wish you lots and lots of success. And I'm going to make sure that I tune in next time.
Well, thank you for joining us.
You are more than welcome.
Thank you. And tell your family we said hello.
I most definitely will. My son's 6'2". Please. He's like, I have to look up at him to tell him. I said hello. Yeah, he's way, way bigger than I am.
Oh, my God. And he's 15, 14 now?
14, and he keeps going.
Oh.
He just keeps going. So I don't know what I'll be doing.
Your husband is. Also, he's probably your husband.
Yeah, he's good. He's probably going to be about six. He's probably going to be about six five six six.
Oh God!
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's probably going to be about 6'5", 6'6". Hey, the shoe size have gotten up there already, so I don't know. After this shoe size, we might have to get custom stuff. I hope not.
Wow. I hope not. Well, thank you so very much.
You guys are very, very welcome. You guys are very, very welcome. Enjoy.
All right, thanks. And we're now off the air.
All right, honey. Take care.
Hey, take care.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.